My knees are a little shaky this evening. We're standing on holy ground. And I'm grateful to God that He has spoken. I think He has spoken clearly. He has revealed His will. For Brother John Mark and Sister Esther, and for the congregation here at Some of You, He has given you a gift. The deposit that was made in Brother John Mark's life, that gift that was given is now on loan to the congregation here. And God bless you as you walk alongside Brother John Mark, as you support him, as you love him, and as he ministers to you, to the congregation here. I just wish you God's richest blessing. Brother John Mark, I said Friday evening, talking about the call of God, that it was God who planned this ordination. It was God who instituted, who put it into motion. I believe that with all my heart. He saw a need in this congregation. And He laid upon the hearts of the brethren here that need and moved them to move into planning an ordination. And then Friday evening, that need or that movement was consummated in a casting of votes by the congregation here, and you were included in that vote. And tonight, the work is finished. God has revealed His will, but it was God who put all this in motion. Don't forget that. And whom God calls, He equips. He'll give you the grace that you need as you trust Him and as you look to Him. He'll take care of those things that you need. That deposit that was given, I very much appreciated Brother Raymond had to say this evening concerning the deposit that God makes. It's God's work. He'll give you that which you need as you trust Him. Whom God calls, He equips. And since you are ordained under His authority, all the resources that He has available are available to you as you trust Him. As you enter into His presence and seek His face. And tonight to Brother Jason and to Brother Albert, I sat where you are sitting a couple of times personally. I went through the lot twice. I didn't draw the heavy book. God bless you as you move into God's plan and God's work for you here in this congregation. It says something, it tells me something about your character, and that the brethren here had the confidence. They had the confidence in your character and in who you are, that they placed that confidence in you and voted for you. They saw you as worthy to take up this work. And I believe that God has a special work for you. Let this experience of sitting where you're sitting be a catalyst in your life for growth. You shared with Brother John Mark for a couple of days that weight, that sense of not knowing what God had planned for your life. But as you looked into that, the possibility of that call, and you felt the weight of that, don't forget that perspective. It changes your perspective. You should be a more responsible lay brother from this day forward, because you have sensed and felt the weight. Have carried it for a couple of days. May God bless you as you continue forward, as you do and fulfill His will in your life, and certainly as Brother Dave said, you have the opportunity to encourage Brother John Mark in a way that no one else here has. So exercise that. Pray for him. Take him out for breakfast. Text him when he's preparing to preach. Encourage him, walk alongside of him, help him to carry the load that he will be carrying. This evening, I'd like for us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 for a scripture reading. 1 Peter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not because someone put you in a headlock and forced you to do it, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for some type of reward. We're not a salaried, we don't have salaried ministers. It's not for the money. That's not the motive for this Christian service, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And Brother John Mark, that's why. That's why we embrace the calling of God. That's why we're willing to go and to serve, because we anticipate that someday the chief shepherd will appear, will come again, and he will give us that crown of life if we are faithful. So never lose sight of that. Keep that eternal goal in mind. It'll be worth it all someday to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we're working for. That's what we're working toward. Likewise, ye younger, verse 5, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We'll stop reading there. The first point that I'd like to make this evening is feed the flock of God. When I looked at the Amplified Bible, it gave a little bit of a different sense than I initially thought of in reading the King James. It gives three things. It says, be the caretaker of the flock, the shepherd, and the guide, and to protect the flock. It gives a picture or the idea of a shepherd. And I don't personally have any experience in handling sheep. I'm not an agricultural person. I've never lived on a farm or served on a farm. But my neighbor Henry Miller has sheep. And sheep need tender care. I'm sure that Henry is a great shepherd, because he is by nature compassionate and gentle, and I know he doesn't handle those sheep roughly. He told me that one of the biggest challenges he faces is parasites. So he has to watch his sheep, and there are times when he needs to move them from one pasture to another because of parasitic infection in the pasture itself. And he told me last fall that we had a very dry fall, and he was having problem with parasites. It's something that the shepherd has to do. He has to keep an eye on the flock, on his sheep. Give them the care that they need. And so it is with the under-shepherd in the church. Be gentle, be gracious, be considerate, but be firm. Be the kind of person it is easy to share needs with. And some people have that gift. Our lead pastor, Luke Troyer, is that kind of a person. It seems like people find it easy to go to him and share their needs. Strive to be that kind of a person to your people, that they can come to you with those with the parasitic infection, with the sin problem that they're dealing with. And just remember that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I believe that one of the things that a shepherd needs, the under-shepherd needs in this case, in order to guard, guide and to protect and to take care of the flock, is a compassionate heart. And to be compassionate, in simple terms, means to be willing and able to enter into the suffering of others. So when someone's going through a hard time, you're willing, you hurt with them. And you're willing to enter into that suffering. You're willing to share the pain with them. May God bless you as you, as an under shepherd, are a caretaker of the flock here at Summit View. Number two, take the oversight thereof. Don't pass the buck. Be willing to take responsibility for the direction of the church. Be a part of the work of charting a course for the brotherhood here. I know that at this point in your ministry, you're going to depend a lot on your co-ministers, but don't blame the rest of the team when things go wrong, and don't ever allow a schism to develop between you and your team. Work together. Work together to come to an agreement when you're dealing with issues, and don't ever give the congregation a different voice or a different tone when you share with them than you gave in the prayer room and in the meeting as you shared with your ministering brethren. Take responsibility. Point number three, tie on the servant's apron. The Amplified Bible in verse 5, where it says in the King James, be clothed with humility. The Amplified Bible says it this way, tie on the servant's apron. And if I understand correctly, that is speaking of the fact that in Jesus' time, when you walked the dusty streets of Judea, you came in with dirt, with dust on your feet, your sandals, open sandals, your feet were dirty. And so one of the jobs that the servant or slave would have would be to wash the guest's feet. It was a dirty job, so he would put on a special apron that would keep him clean as he washed his master's guest's feet. Put on the servant's apron as you serve your congregation here at Summit View. Don't be afraid to get dirty. We have a waterfall at our place of business. We sell furniture for a living. It was built probably about 25 years ago. And I'd say about 10 years ago, we realized that it needed some updating. It was beginning to look a little bit worn. So we hired a man to repair that waterfall. When they arrived, the first piece of equipment that came off of the truck was a chair, a comfy chair. And he set that chair over nearby and proceeded to direct his Mexican helpers as to where things should go. Put this rock here, move it a little bit this way, bring this rock over here and set it there. And that's the way he worked. Needless to say, he was overweight. But he wasn't getting his hands dirty. I'm confident that you won't work in that way, Brother John Mark. But tie on the servant's apron. Don't be afraid to get dirty. Work with your people. Don't ask them to do anything that you wouldn't be willing to do yourself. And when I think of that, there are things that brethren in our congregation can do much better than I can. Maybe I can't do everything that they can do. But I wouldn't want to ask them to do something that I wouldn't be willing to do myself. I believe that this expresses a heart of humility. As we are willing to serve, we are willing to tie on the servant's apron as we lead our people. Point number four, submit yourself to your brethren. Verse 5. It seems like there's submission to go around here when we look at this passage. Likewise, ye younger, it speaks to the younger first of all. Submit yourselves also unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It's important in your life, Brother John Mark, that you understand that you have a clear vision of God's order, of the authority structure as God has given it. We understand, we realize that all authority is given by God, is under His jurisdiction. He has delegated a certain portion of that to you this evening that you didn't carry before. Along with that authority, there's a responsibility that needs to be filled. But all authority is delegated by God. It's not yours, it's His. And We all have the opportunity to find our place within God's order. And I love that about the brotherhood. I love the fact that the bishop defers to the school board and issues under their jurisdiction. And I step out of the way when the brotherhood needs to work with my family. I'm glad to do that. I ask Brother Dale Miller at home when our family needs to use the gym for a family function, and I don't expect preferential treatment for that. I'm not any better than anyone else. I'm not at a different level in that particular work than anyone else. I defer to him and ask him for permission to help us to schedule whatever it is that we need to do. When I am in my place in God's order, it is a place of blessing. And good things happen when I find my place there. My brethren will not struggle to submit to me if I am truly committed to God's order in my life. So never forget that. Why is it, if it's God's, if authority, if all authority belongs to God, if it's simply delegated by Him, why is it that we are so quickly disturbed when someone seems to be disrespectful? I deal with that. They're actually disrespecting God. If in the home, as a father, I feel disrespected by my children, that authority is delegated by God. They are actually being disrespectful to the God of heaven. And why is it that then, on the other hand, that sometimes we find it so easy to disrespect God's order in those that we're accountable to, if it is God's authority? God bless you as you lead your congregation in the art of submission, God's order. There would be more that could be looked at in this passage, but I think we'll move on to the next point. Number five, disciple and delegate others to the work. And this, I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for a scripture reading there. I don't find it easy to delegate. This is something that I need. Personally, and this is on a family level, my son Andre and I are in partnership. My oldest son, and recently we went through an expansion, and I just told him we added a wing, and I felt almost overwhelmed myself. I said, "Well, Andre, if we're going to do this, I want you to go ahead with the project. It's going to be your project," and he did. He planned it. He organized it. You know, and when it came time to finish it up and to have we had a grand opening or reopening celebration, he took care of it all. And I will have to tell you that it was better organized than it would have been if I had done it. It was. He's a better planner than I am. I tend to be a seat of the pants kind of a planner. He did very well. We need to delegate. We need to be delegators as it relates to our leadership in the church as well. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I love that picture of discipling brethren, lay brethren, to be mentors, to disciple others in the church, and then to do the work, some of the work that we as ministers get so burdened with. I love to see that happen. And I believe that we need to be intentional about that. Or we will become exhausted and burn out. Disciple others and delegate others to do the work. Number six, take time in message preparation. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm not going to tell you this evening, how to study. I'm not going to tell you how to preach. It's interesting in talking with other ministers about how they prepare. There are many different ways that ministers prepare. I heard this afternoon, of a minister who prepared to preach by laying on the couch for 20 minutes and meditating, and he would get up ready to preach. Oklahoma Dave. I remember listening to him preach. I haven't found that ability in my own life. I need more than 20 minutes to get ready, and you probably will too. But in talking about the way he would travel around the country, and it might be that he would have very little notice, you know, when he popped in at a congregation, they just plan a service. So, you know, he might have 20 minutes to get ready. It's probably going to take more time than that, more work than that. But make sure that you take the time. Studying is work. But it is a blessed work. And don't forget, in message preparation, as we told you, as we spoke of Friday evening, I find it necessary to enter into the presence of God to prepare for a message. Don't neglect prayer. Brother Dale Heisey told us years ago, he said, it takes more time to prepare the heart than it does the message. I have a feeling that Brother Dale was one who it didn't take him long to get ready for the message once the heart was ready. But what he is saying has a lot of truth to it. Our heart needs to be prepared before we can stand before a people to preach the word. There's something that happens when we spend time in the presence of God. It humbles us. It reminds us again of our need. And if we're going to hear from the Lord, we have to understand that we must hear from Him. If we are going to speak the oracles of God, it must be received first in our own hearts and lives through meditation and prayer. Point number 6, don't let your strength become your weakness. I believe we'll turn to Romans 12. We actually heard the list of the gifts. Brother Raymond read them this evening in the book of Ephesians. I think we'll turn to Romans 12 and read the list there. It was slightly different. Simon Schrock has a little book out by this title, Don't Let Your Strength Can Become Your Weakness, I think is the title of it. And it's something that I've thought about and I've found to be true. Oswald Chambers said it this way, unguarded strength is double weakness. The Bible characters fell on their strong point, never on their weakness. And let's read the gifts as they're given. And this evening, I don't know what particular gift God has blessed you with. I have a feeling that that gift is already there, and there probably is more than one. God gives gifts to us that He expects us to use in His service. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I think we'll stop reading there. Cedric B. Johnson said it this way concerning our strengths. Those gifts are areas of strength within us that God has actually blessed us with. But this is what Cedric Johnson had to say about our strength becoming our weakness. A conscientious person may become compulsive. A giving person may take too much responsibility for others. An open-hearted person may become gullible. A discerning person, one who has the gift of discernment, I would say probably the gift of prophecy, may become skeptical or cynical. How does our strength become our weakness? And thinking about the gifts that God gives. And I have a feeling that the leadership team here at Summit View is probably already exercising many of these gifts. We have the gift of prophecy, which the prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord," and he warns and exhorts. He's a truth man. He has the gift of discernment, and oftentimes is pretty sure he's right. The one who has the gift of serving is a helper. He serves behind the scenes, takes the trash out without being asked. He's just constantly doing things that serve the needs of others. The one who has the gift of teaching has a keen interest in personal study of the Word. He's disciplined in study. He has the gift of teaching. The one who has the gift of exhortation or encouragement helps others pursue or do what the teacher taught. He's an affirmer. The one who has the gift of giving gives to the Lord's work consistently, liberally, sacrificially, and cheerfully. The one who has the gift of ruling is the pastor, the leader, makes a good organizer, administrator. He understands and cares deeply about those under his care. The one who has the gift of mercy has compassion for the miserable and the hurting. The evangelist, that one is found in Ephesians 4, not in the list we just read, has the capacity to present the gospel message with exceptional clarity and overwhelming burden. And all of these gifts are needed in the kingdom of God. May God bless you, first of all, as you learn to blend your gifts on the team. I believe, I've seen it happen on ministers' benches where these gifts, where the strong gifts actually became a weakness for different brethren on the team. How does our strength become our weakness? When we insist on doing things our way and don't work with the team. And I can personally testify. I would say that I probably have the gift of mercy. I have a little bit of a hard time sometimes telling people how it should really be on a personal level. There are others on the team who are more forthright and speak the truth. And you know exactly where they stand. It's a gift as well. But I have found that I can get in the way of God's work because of a heart of compassion that doesn't want to quit. There comes a time when you have to speak the truth in love and go on. So be a part, blend with the team, become a part of the team. Don't let your strength become a weakness for your team, for the leadership team. Number 8, preach the word. 2 Timothy 4. You can turn with me if you'd like in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That was a part of the charge that was given to you, Brother John Mark, and may God bless you as you enter into that, as you take that charge seriously. You pay interest upon the deposit. God bless you with that. Preach the word. You know, and the Amplified Bible said it this way: be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. To reprove is to correct the erring. You need to be faithful in reproving or giving instruction to those who are erring, who are moving away from the truth of God's word. You need to rebuke the sinner, to warn the sinner, and exhort or encourage those who are growing to spiritual maturity but need to be encouraged in their walk with God. May God bless you as you do that. I think in thinking of the first charge there to correct the erring, I think of doctrinal messages. Messages that teach truths that need to be clearly understood. Teaching messages. Keep track of the subjects you preach and teach, and give your people a balanced diet. I believe it's good if we keep an eye on what we've preached on the last 6 months or 12 months. I know personally that I have a tendency to repeat myself. And we have talked about that as a leadership team at home. We all sort of have our hobby horses. There are certain types of messages that are easier for me to preach. I tend to prefer preaching on relational subjects. Even though I struggle with relationships myself, I have my share of trouble with it. But those are the messages that I tend to get excited about. But I need to also take the work of evangelism, take it up, and do it as well. It's something that I am called to do. It's a part of, don't shy away from certain subjects or types of things just because they're harder for you to speak about. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. And I believe that in our world today, we have many people who are that way. Tom Guerin from Northern Indiana preached a series of meetings in our community there in Kentucky a year and a half ago or so. And he has a ministry on college campuses. So he goes to college campuses, these liberal college campuses, and preaches the gospel. He's an Irish Mennonite. And he has things thrown at him. And you never know what you're going to experience there. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm up to that or not. But I believe that we need to be willing to preach where God calls us. Watch in all things. Verse 5. Be vigilant, be aware, stay alert. We have the responsibility. We spoke this morning to the congregation about the fact that we as ministers are accountable for the souls of our people. Don't forget that. I need to be reminded of that. It's serious business. We watch for their souls as they that must give account. Keep your finger on the pulse of the congregation, and by God's Holy Spirit and by God's grace, He will help you to understand and to see what is going on. Endure afflictions. 30 years ago, it would have been hard for me to imagine that in this country of ours that we might experience religious persecution. I don't know how the rest of you find it, but today, it wouldn't be shocking to me at all if someday we experience direct physical persecution or spiritual persecution or persecution because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because of issues that the far left is pushing concerning gay or homosexual relationships, activities that the Bible clearly teaches against. So if we're going to preach the word as God gives it, we're going to come in opposition to these positions that so many are holding. I don't know what the future holds, but Paul admonishes Timothy. He says, endure afflictions. Don't give up. Don't preach the truth. Even when it costs you something, don't quit preaching the truth. Don't dodge those things that the devil would like to put against us. May God bless you as you do that. Fulfill the duties of your ministry, all of them. Personal work, teaching, preaching, and most of all, living out the principles that you're teaching so that your people can follow you as you follow Christ. God bless you. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's stand for prayer.